This is Mouse World Radio.
Radio 1!
This is Walt Disney World Today, broadcasting from MouseFest 2007. Now, transmitting live from somewhere on the Atlantic Ocean aboard the Disney Cruise Line ship Wonder, here's your host, Matt Hochberg.
We're live on Tuesday, December 4th, 2007, and this is Matt Hochberg from StudioCentral.com here live from the Disney Wonder here at MouseFest, and I'm joined by a number of different individuals here. We're going to be talking about cruises. To my right is the famous Annette Owens of MEI Mouse Fan Travel. Welcome, Annette.
Welcome to the suite, everyone.
And we should mention that Annette is in her wench wear right now.
Sorry, Mark.
We should have her lined up on a dock, you know, with the that would be appropriate with the wear. Moving on, Fred Block of Magic Meats is also here. Fred Block of Magic Meats is also here. Welcome, Fred.
Thank you, Matt.
And we also have joining us Dave Marks of the Passporter's Guides. Welcome, Dave.
Well, thank you, guys.
And we're live on the Disney Wonder. And
it's Pirates Night here.
It is Pirates Night. That's what.
Thanks for clarifying that now.
Yeah, well, that's why Annette is dressed as she is.
Really?
Really? Like she needed an excuse, right, Fred?
Oh my gosh.
But we're blogging. We're recording live on the Wonder here. Broadcasting live, sorry. And Mike Newell is also here at Mouse World Radio, I should mention. Mike is off mic, but Mike's waves to all of you. He's working the controls.
Mike.
That's right. And we thought it would be appropriate as for our first live broadcast on a cruise line to talk about the Disney Cruise Line in general. We have a number of different viewpoints. Dave's book, which I have right in my hand over here, which is the Passporter's Field Guide to the Disney Cruise Line and its Ports of Calls. So he's our venerable cruise expert. We have Fred Block, this is your first cruise, correct?
Yeah, my first Disney cruise, yes.
Okay, so everything that we say, Dave, we can then bounce off Fred and see how he's experienced it and if he's going along very well. And Annette, how many cruises has it been for you, Annette?
Oh, I'm not even sure. This is the fourth escorted group I've done on the Wonder, but I think I've done seven or eight.
Great. And so, and Mike, how many cruises is this for you now?
Three
cruises for Mike Newell. So, today we thought,
Matt.
This is my, yeah, I should mention, this is my second Disney cruise, both aboard the Wonder. And joining us also, we have Deb Wills of All Ears Now. Welcome, Deb.
Hello, Matt.
Well, thank you for letting us into your humble abode, because Deb, for our listeners who don't know, you're actually staying in the Walt Disney Suite. I had to post her a picture. And is this your first time in the suite, Deb?
Absolutely, my first time. It's very surreal right now. I don't feel like I'm really staying here. I'll probably wake up in the middle of the night and think I'm back in the regular room.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's right. They've only booked this room for 6 hours, so we need to get out.
But Becky and Annette and Linda and myself are here, and we get to enjoy the suite for the next 4 days, and we're hoping to do some entertaining.
Absolutely. And now this is, of course, we're here for the beginning of MouseFest, and this is my first MouseFest cruise. Mike Newell, who's also here, who's
silent.
He's here.
Yeah, I always introduced.
How's it going, Mike?
It's fine, thank you.
And so this is our first MouseFest cruise, and we're already having a great time on it. It's certainly a different experience, because a lot of listeners, a lot of people who consider going to MouseFest, you know, the land portion they can buy into, but the cruise seems like, you want me to go where? You know, because it's more of an extension. It's not quite as easy for people to go to, but really it's a fantastic experience, and you see a lot of those same friends that you see on the at the land portion as well. Deb, how many cruises is this for you for MouseFest?
I've been on every MouseFest cruise. I think this is the fourth. And because the first year for Mouse Fest, I don't believe we did a cruise. But personally, I like the Mouse Fest cruise better than land in the sense that I actually get to spend time with people. You're dining with the same people every night. We have meets. We're all on the ship. And so you run into each other. Whereas opposed to on land, there might be 50 or 60 people at a meet and you might not see them again all weekend and you've just met them briefly. And so it's hard to remember and to even get to know people. So in many senses, the cruise is just a wonderful opportunity to get to know folks and make new friends and meet old ones.
So now we're on, this is the first night of the cruise, day one. And Deb, with the cruise still ahead of us, really, what are you most looking forward to on the Disney cruise this time?
Well, I'm really excited about staying in the Walt Disney Suite.
Sleeping tonight.
She can't wait to go to sleep.
And so this is just an incredible treat. It really is, staying in the suite. It's a whole different, not theming, but a whole different decor than the regular cabins. And there is lots and lots of photographs of Walt and Walt and Roy and many historical Disney photographs that are around. And it's like its own little museum where you can get to see everything. And so that's fascinating. And I'm looking forward to all the meets. We've got some great ones that I'll be hosting with my team and also the other ones on the schedule. And, of course, the one that's near and dear to my heart is the Walk, Stroll, Roll for Breast Cancer Walk on Wednesday morning. And
bright and early.
I wasn't able to make it last year. I was detained.
Nope.
But I'm really looking forward to it.
Are you sleeping in this year?
No.
No, you're coming?
Yes, okay. I'll be there.
I'll be. So now, Annette, for those who haven't been in the suite as well, how many people does this suite hold right now?
Right now?
Right now we've exceeded the capacity by quite a bit. But I mean, how many does this sleep? Let's put it that way.
Eight. I'm just going up.
Give me nine. Will someone give me nine?
The two pulled up down bunks that you will be.
No. I'm not.
Oh, and you're sleeping in a bunk.
I'm sleeping on a bunk.
Top,
I don't
is
know.
Top
that
or bottom?
To be the joke.
But it's really fantastic because, you know, especially when you're in the other staterooms, which are very nice, and whether you're in an inside cabin or in steerage like me and Mike, there's a certain expectation, you know, you go to a certain level, but really when you come in here, it's really fantastically designed. It was raining a little before, so we haven't been able to go out on the veranda, but I mean, it's not just a porch, it's a veranda. It extends the entire width of the suite over here. It's really nice, and we're all very jealous of Deb. I'm sure you're going to have to kick everybody out later tonight. It's going to be like, you know...
I'll just go in the bedroom and shut the door, so it's okay. You all enjoy yourselves.
That'll be the next show.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's the pay-per-view show.
But we'll actually have pictures of the suite up online after we get back home after Mouse Fest for folks who haven't seen it. And our first actual Mouse Fest meet today was... we hosted a Walt Suite tour, and folks who were here as part of Mouse Fest could sign up, and they got a fast pass and a time to come, and they toured the suite, and that was really neat. A lot of people really enjoyed that because they hadn't seen it before and hadn't gotten an opportunity. So
that was a real highlight for a lot of people. I know a lot of people were, you know, what are you doing right now? Oh, I'm going to the Deb Suite. I'm going to go see the Deb Suite.
It's the Deb Suite.
Not Walt.
I don't know how Walt will feel about that.
All the photos are going to be superimposed. There's going to be Walt and there'll be Deb's head right next to him. Roy's been erased. It's now Deb and Walt.
But I have to say that Becky Mencken, who's the head of MEI Mouse Fan Travel, really... and or Annette, I'm not sure who's taking credit or who actually did it, but
well, Annette's on mic, so she'll take credit for it.
They were instrumental, and they were the reason that we're in the Walt Disney Suite. They knew exactly when to call Disney Cruise Line and book it when the sailings became available, and so we're just really thrilled to be able to be here and enjoy the suite.
Absolutely. with the cruise underway now. And we had already a full day of activities. We had the meet at Port Canaveral, and then we had the sail away party, which was very fun. It coincided just as it ended; it started raining, so that was convenient.
It was good timing,
convenient or inconvenient, depending on how you look at it.
And now you've got dinner. Now, why don't you tell? This is, you know, we're going to gear towards some of the cruise stuff here. What of the restaurants here And I know what you're going to say, so Paulo isn't an answer for this.
Okay.
What is your favorite restaurant aboard the Wonder?
Well, it's kind of like when someone asked me that question about where do you really like to eat at Walt Disney World, and it sort of evolves with time. Mm-hmm. The first couple of times I was able to be on the cruise, Animator's Palette was my favorite.
Okay.
It's probably the most themed of the restaurants, and it changes over the course of dinner. The servers, I don't want to give too much away for folks who haven't been on the ship, but the servers are part of the theming as well, and it's just, it's a really special night. I don't know. Parrot Key is so much fun. They have great barbecue ribs now on the menu, or they did last time I was here, and it's a lot of fun to eat there. And one night is pirate night, so no matter what restaurant you're in, you get a special pirate menu, and they have a special pirate buffet at 11 o'clock, I think it is, after the pirate party. And it's just an incredible amount of food. And I've never eaten at it. But
we're always still at dinner, aren't we?
It's very fun. A reputation of closing the restaurants. And I don't know if we'll hold that true because Dr. Barrett, Steve Barrett, Mr. Hidden Mickey's is not here this year, and he was part of the reason last year we always closed the restaurants.
Steve's fault.
So, hi, Steve. We miss you this year very much. Steve had to stay at work. He was not able to take leave, but he'll be in the land portion of Mouse Fest. But, and then Triton's is a more dressy restaurant. You know, it's just... Each one is good in its own way.
Absolutely.
So I really answered your question.
and like all of them.
Right.
So I'll have one last question for you here,
okay.
And then I'll let you go back to enjoying the suite. What are we going to do to get Mike Scopa to come on this cruise? I mean, he's sworn off cruises since Noah's Ark. And it's been, you know, ever
Sorry,
since then.
Mike. It was... Sorry, Mike.
What can we, I mean, if anybody can influence him, it's going to be you. If he hears it from you, it's like, you know, that's the word right there.
I think he'll know when it's time, and I think at some point down the road, we'll get Mike on a Disney ship. I don't know when, but all in good time. And since Mike isn't here, and neither is Len, who's the fourth cohort, we just want to toast both of them and tell them that we miss them also and wish they were here on the ship with us.
Absolutely. There you go.
And ding.
Ding.
Yeah, that's for you, guys. We did that for you, Len. But it's awesome having Matt and Mike here. We're really excited to have the guys here and to be doing some podcasts. And just want to thank you for bringing all your equipment. I know it was not an easy task, and we really appreciate the efforts that you've made to be here and to broadcast. So thanks.
We're glad to be here. We're looking forward to a great couple of days, and thanks for taking some time to talk to us, Deb.
Thank you.
All right. Now, Dave, when you're talking about a Disney cruise, we're going to be talking. I think a lot of people hear two things in their head. One of which is, all right, Disney cruise. I like that idea. The other, which is primarily emanating from Manchester, New Hampshire, which is, ew, I don't want to go on a Disney cruise or a cruise in general.
Sorry, Scopa.
That was a shout at Scopa. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what is a Disney cruise? Because it's a little bit different than when you go on, say, another cruise line. And tell our listeners a little bit about the cruise and how it is in general.
Well, there are two sides to that. One is it's a Disney cruise and people think it's supposed to be something like a theme park, but it isn't. It's a whole lot like other cruises. But as much as it's like other cruises, and I think a few people here can attest to that, there is the, quote, trademarked Disney difference.
That's right.
That you find in so many things. Disney hospitality, Disney entertainment especially. This is the only cruise line I know of that is run by an entertainment company. And it makes a huge amount of difference in how they approach everything. And, you know, you've got... Well, we're sitting here in the Walter E. Disney suite at the moment, the suite life. And... And that certainly is very Disney. I'm staring at a silver-framed photo of Walt and Roy, seen monitor the view from the bridge video camera that's showing us a bunch of kids in the kids program playing dodgeball, and that is a key difference. We've got, you know, as Walt said years and years and years ago, he wanted a theme park to be a place where families could do things together.
Yep.
And the Disney Cruise Line embodies that in every sense of the word, but at the same time manages to give people who are not bringing their kids along, and there are a lot of people who don't bring their kids along, a fantastic time. Better, in fact, than a lot of cruise lines where the families just sort of, everybody just sort of mishmashes together. You can go onto a certain other cruise line that starts with a C where you just find the kids hanging out on the Deck 5 food court all day and all night long. Here, there's actually some place for them to go where they really want to be. Well, that's just absolutely fantastic.
Well, never mind the laughing in the background. You know,
I don't know whether it's me. I don't know whether I should be embarrassed here or whether
Deb Wills is
doing the pirate dance.
Is doing the pirate dance to some late 80s disco hit. that explains. But, you know, Dave, you mentioned something very key there, and that is that Disney does a cruise, which is what other cruises, you know, there are other cruises out there, but it kind of reminds me of how the Disney parks are, because there are other theme parks out there. And I think many of our listeners here would agree that Disney does theme parks completely different. And when we say completely different, completely better than many of the competition out there. And you can look at that with the cruise line in the same regard, in that there are other cruise lines out there, but we choose to go on Disney among other reasons, but primarily because they have the Disney touch, the Disney difference that you have.
I like to think of it as plussing it.
Yeah.
Because it seems to me like in comparing it, everything that exists currently, they one-up it or two-up it in many cases. And that's what makes a difference, whether it be, like you said, at the parks or on the cruise. And that's been my experience so far.
And that's a good point, Fred, because this is your first Disney cruise. And now you've gone on many family vacations before, both, you know, whether it be a family vacation or perhaps a vacation by yourself. What made you go on your first Disney, on your first cruise in general, and let alone a Disney cruise?
Well, the first cruise in general, you know, I just heard so much from so many people, some of which might be in this very same room, who kept saying, you know, you guys got a cruise, you guys got a cruise, you guys got a cruise. And finally, we decided to go and try it. And for the first one, we went on a Carnival cruise out of New York to Canada. And it was just Renee and I. So, you know, we got to taste it a little bit and try and explore and see what it was like, you know, to cruise. And it was overall a pretty good experience. You know, I would probably do it again. So we decided to try Carnival again to Canada this year. Mm-hmm. And this time we brought the kids. Well, it wasn't all what we thought it was going to be. The kids weren't all that interested in the activities. The counselors weren't really into it. They were there more like in a babysitting aspect, not in a, you know, entertainment aspect.
Right.
So the kids didn't want to stay there more than a half hour or an hour, and that doesn't really help when the parents want to try to go and sneak away to do their own thing. So that's completely different here.
Yeah, and it's interesting you bring that up, Fred, because correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, I think it's in the Cruise Clues ebook that you have. Is it in the Cruise Clues ebook or is it in the regular
I'm
book?
Not sure. I don't know where you're going.
Oh. Good point. Can't read my mind. Darn. I was going to suggest in one of those, there's the section where you compare the Disney Cruise Line to the other cruise lines and kind of give a, I think, about as objective as a comparison as you can possibly make. I mean, obviously, there's humans involved here. But can you talk a little bit about the major differences that you see between a Disney cruise and the other cruise lines? I know they vary considerably.
That was in the Cruise Clues ebook, and that's something Jennifer put together, so I can't take any credit for it.
Feel free to, though.
I've covered some of the differences. I mean, one of the biggies is there is no casino on the Disney cruise ships.
That's right.
It completely changes the focus of the entertainment picture. Our kids' programs, starting with 4 months old, the youngest, 3 months old, the youngest child that they will allow on board. You can get child care on this cruise line, and infant care, and teen care. And that is something that their teen programs, usually, for example, Carnival will have the kids' program. Kids' program stops at age 12. After that, the teens are on their own. If you have an infant and you want babysitting for a couple of hours during the evening, you can't. You can get an in-room sitter who happens to be just a housekeeper who's
right,
is on their hours off, or you can, or at about 2 a.m., you can park your toddler in the kids' club for a couple of hours, and that's it. I mean, that's, you know, about 2 hours a day.
Right.
You can't go on a shore excursion, for example, and leave your younger kids behind.
Nor would I actually even contemplate it. Like, you know, it was offered to us on Carnival when we went, you know, to St. John in Canada. And, you know, Renee and I were both in agreement. That absolutely isn't happening. You know,
right,
where we're going to go ashore and leave our children on a ship where they might not even be happy and there might be a concern. And who knows? They'd have no way to get in touch with us. It just wasn't something that we even fathomed.
Plus, you get wine service during the podcast. Which
how
isn't a bad
cool
perk.
Is that?
and
thank you,
and
Linda.
Talking from a similar perspective, his younger daughter is just about the same age as our son is,
mm-hmm,
and so we're encountering the same basic problem. But the other side of that equation, though, is that unlike the other cruise lines, until you get to the really high end lines where kids really aren't all that welcome, you won't find as many adults only havens as you will on the other lines. May have one or two adults only areas, but they're not generally available. The entire forward section of Deck 9, the main recreation deck, is adults only. It includes the spa, it includes the Quiet Cove pool, and the Cove Cafe, really nice coffee bar, etc. And it's like the cone of silence descends when you walk into that section of the ship. You won't find that on the ships. There's a pool, and all the kids are there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah. Annette, you obviously, as someone who books a lot of cruises, do you find people that go on cruises, are they first-time Disney cruisers? Are they first-time cruisers in general? Are they people that are looking to try Disney for the first time? Is there a kind of a consensus?
I think a lot of first-time cruisers that have been to Disney World, they've experienced Disney, they feel safe about trying a Disney cruise. And then it's hard to get them away from a Disney cruise. I know, especially for my family, I'll just make it very personal. For my family, I had to beg my children to go on a Royal Caribbean ship. And then after we had been on it for 4 hours and they were looking at the Disney Wonder, they wanted to know why we were on the Mariner of the Seas. Because they just really had a great time on the Wonder. And just for the teens program, I can speak to that. There's activities for them going, and it's age appropriate. Whereas on the cruise we did with the kids, my 13-year-old was in a group with teenagers were 18 because they had to shrink things down. There just wasn't a lot of kids on the cruise. So, but you know, in most cruisers that have, you know, first-time cruisers, they feel comfortable with Disney.
Okay. Now Annette, why don't you tell our listeners about the different itineraries that are available on a Disney cruise line? I know that there's many of the ones that go more international. Well, they all are international technically, but longer voyages. But what are the typical voyages that Disney offers?
Going back to your first-time cruisers, a lot of people, you know, the 3 and 4 night, it's just, you know, that's what they want to try. Let's try that. We can combine it with a trip to Disney World. We can go with that safe haven that we're comfortable with, and we can do add on a cruise just to try it. But then, you know, that's going to your Bahamas. Then you have the Eastern and Western Caribbeans that are 7 nights on the Disney Magic. And then the summer, the Magic will be headed over to the West Coast.
That's right. And one of the, we were talking earlier, and I want to mention this very quickly, about, we were talking about kids. And Fred, why don't you tell our listeners about the program that Disney has here? Because I was really amazed by it, because you have, how old are your daughters, Fred?
They're 7 and 3.
Okay. And they have, tell our listeners about the mechanism in which Disney can monitor your kids and let you know if there's a problem.
Well, we were very impressed. There was a lot of information. They collect a lot of information beforehand about, you know, is there anything we should know about your child, you know, when you're registering them online, actually, before you even board. You know, is there anything we need to know? You know, are there any allergies, food allergies, you know? So we were able to give them a little background information, which was a really cool thing. But most importantly, what they do is they give you a pager, and it's a text messaging pager, so that once you drop your children off, if there's any problems whatsoever, or if they just want to advise you of something, they send you a text message to your pager, so you can actually read something other than just get a beep, 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 beep alert, and you think, you know, go into a panic that something's wrong. So, it's really nice, you know, because like when you walk around with the pager, you're at ease, you know, especially after seeing the immense amount of effort that they put into developing this kids program and the area that they play. And just when I thought I'd saw it all, they told us, oh no, your child was brought over to the lab tonight, which is across the hall. And then you walk into that place and you're like, oh my gosh, like this is like almost an entire deck of space just for the kids to have fun.
And you wanted to stay with them too, didn't you?
Yeah, we did.
I mean, I know, I'm a nerd at heart. You know, I saw the computers and it was like, oh.
And the expensive chairs too.
I bet you they get free internet access in there. You know, I think I'm going to have to check myself in at 25 cents a minute or
something. Yeah, Julia, can you go check my message boards for me?
But actually, seriously, the on the younger kids programs, they do not have internet access per se. There's lots of games and other things on the computers, but it's a very safe environment on those computers. And on the teen program, they do have to pay for the internet time.
They do. Yeah. Welcome to Grand Central.
So if you, let's say you're saying, okay, maybe a Disney cruise is for me, maybe it's something I want to check out. Dave, what would be a good place to start? I mean, you got to figure, I mean, like in a Disney World vacation, you try to figure out, okay, I can take time off this time, and then you look for a good resort rate, and, you know, you book your airfare and things like that. Tell us how different or how similar it is in terms of booking a Disney cruise, what the process really is.
Well, booking a Disney cruise is a bit more complex in some ways, simpler in others. The part, of course, is deciding how long you want to go. Seasonality, rates are an issue because the rates, unlike Disney World rates, which tend to follow very strict steps, you've got value season, not quite value season, pre-holiday season, holiday season.
You know, it's all relative.
You know, all the you know, but still they're pretty predictable.
Yeah.
However, pricing on Disney Cruise Line is very variable day to day, week to week, based on the seasonal variability changes.
Now, we're talking about prices because it's a little bit different. A lot of people, you know, you look at the price of a cruise, and this isn't like in Disney World when you book a room, that's what you get. You get a room, but on a Disney Cruise Line, you get your money goes more than just your cruise. Because why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what you get in terms of what your dollars get you.
Any cruise line vacation is more like the old-fashioned Catskills Resort. Okay, it's food. You know, all your meals are included while you're on board the ship, and all the meals in between meals are included. And other than adult beverages and specialty drinks, pretty much every piece of food on board is included. Unlike some cruise lines want to sock it to you on your soft drinks,
right?
And they charge you for all the soft drinks. Disney does include that. And there's even a 24-hour soft drink area up on Deck 9 where you can go at any time of the day or night to get free or, let's say, price-included soft drinks. So there's that. That's included. Your lodging, of course, is included. Rates are a little bit different. You ultimately do have to pay for food for everybody on board. So unlike the traditional Disney hotel booking where you're booking paying for the room and you can have two adults and two kids then under 19 without any additional charge. In this case, there's a charge for everybody, including an infant or a newborn, but the charges are on a sliding scale. The first two people, it doesn't matter what their ages are, the first two people in a stateroom pay full rack rate. One person only in a room pays even more, doesn't pay up twice as much, but pays substantially more than one individual. The third and fourth in a stateroom will pay essentially the third and fourth adults or children will pay a substantially lower rate that mostly just covers their food and the various port charges and taxes that are charged wherever the ship stops.
Right.
And infants, pretty much all they really pay are the port charges, about $200 roughly. And that really just covers the taxes and things when you hit the Bahamas.
Right. So, I mean, really, when you're paying for this, I mean, the cost is, I mean, in theory, you pay the cost of the cruise. And really, that's your vacation cost. There isn't like, well, I'm going to go eat. You know, in Disney World, you have to account for, well, am I going to eat at this restaurant? I'm going to do counter service. I'm going to do full service. No. Those options are all there for you.
Yes, you can have a very cost-controlled vacation if you have the self-control to do it. The trouble is that the cruise lines all are trying to get you to spend more. Disney is less so because they don't have the casino and the and that whole focus on the casino.
That's a really, really interesting point. I got to tell you, emphasis on that is this is low pressure. There is nobody like jumping in your face with a camera every chance they get to try to take a picture. You know, you in most cases, if you want your picture taken, you actually have to ask for it. Yeah. And I really like that because, you know.
And now, why don't you tell our listeners why they're jumping in your face to take the pictures on the other lines?
Oh, yeah, because realistically, one of the biggest cash cows that most of the lines have is they take as many pictures as possible of you, and then they put them up in this gallery area where you go and you look at your picture, and they put it in some type of a digital type frame, which, you know, goes, you know, with that night. And, you know, it's like $25 for an 8x10.
Right.
You know, so they're making a ton of money, you know, on the more pictures they take of you and the more that you like, the more you're going to want to buy. And it's really hard because a lot of times you do find a lot of pictures you want. And you're obviously not going to be able to buy all of them.
Exactly. Okay. And that really goes back to the what I call the nickel and diming. And I'm not sure Disney isn't perfect and they're not sitting there and not trying to get you to spend their money like David mentioned. But to me, I feel that they don't nickel and dime you, or the perception of nickel and diming isn't quite as large on Disney as it is on the other lines.
Well, part of that just has to do with that Disney, whether you're talking about land vacations or sea vacations, is not a deep discounter. And pretty much when people like Carnival are in the business of getting you in onto the ship with a deep discount and then have to make the money back on the other end, Disney pretty much, you're not going to get a bargain. And You will either get a better rate or a worse or a higher rate, but you're not going to get a loss leader bargain rate that they have to compensate for later.
I mean, look at it like when you're staying on if you're going to Disney World and you decide you want to stay on Disney property or do you want to stay at a hotel off site. We all know that if you take a hotel of one size on Disney property, you compare it to a hotel off property at the same size. The one off property is going to be much cheaper for price, but it's what you get with that and the various amenities that come with it that makes the real difference there. And so I think for our listeners to understand that, just like when you're deciding whether or not you want to stay off property or on property with Disney, you know, a lot of our listeners often choose to stay on property, and that's, you know, the same thing holds true with going on the Disney cruise.
And one of the really key points to that too, and then why we always stay on property, is it's low stress. You know, you don't have to worry about transportation. You don't have to worry about renting a car. You know, you can do anything you want with minimal to low stress. And that's one of the things I really like, you know, the most about it, you know, going to Disney, whether it be now on the cruise or going back to the shopping thing, which is obviously a key. If you look at like Royal Caribbean and anybody who's seen, you know, the TV shows, you know, they have the entire center of the ship is like this huge, immense, long mall with nothing but stores and stores and stores and stores. And even when we were on the Carnival ship, there was just a whole deck of nothing but stores and stores and stores. And when we first got on board, you know, we wanted to go do some shopping, we went down and we looked, and there's two stores. Yeah. Two little, I mean, reasonable stores, but small in comparison to what I've seen. And again, that comes back to the low pressure, you know, of, you know, it's there. If you want to buy it, buy it. But we're not, like, you know, forcing it, you know, down your throat.
Yeah, it's going to be Polo by Ralph Lauren shorts if you need to buy a pair of shorts. But actually, I had a bad experience, as some people do when they're taking a European cruise, mm-hmm. Mediterranean cruise, where my baggage got lost along the way. So I needed some clothes once I got to the ship.
Yeah.
And despite the fact that, yes, the Royal Caribbean ship that we were on had this wonderful mall. Actually, I think the ship's architecture happens to be pretty spectacular on those ships. But nonetheless, I couldn't find a wardrobe to buy at any price on that ship. However, Disney manages to understand what people need when they go on a vacation.
Yeah.
Which is emergency wardrobe.
With Mickey on it.
And honestly,
or a little horse with a guy.
And honestly, when you think of it, like you were also touching on, Matt, is you do pay a decent premium. There's no arguing that, right? But once you pay that, you really don't pay a lot. if you really don't want to.
Yeah, I mean, just like Disney property. You don't pay for transportation when you're in Disney property if you don't want to. Yeah, you don't pay to park. Yeah, at the parks,
I think we're on the third night of the cruise, and I mean, we've been very, you know, free with the card, and I think we've only racked up maybe $250.
Well, then you're not playing bingo, babe.
No, I'm not playing bingo.
Oh, we know whose card is next.
You are not. You're not attending the art auction at Sea.
No, we're not attending. No.
Where you could have plunked down $25,000 on a suite of Rembrandt etchings. You are not going on shore excursions because this is a four night and there's only one day in port. That if you're on the 7 night or longer, then you begin to see where the cruise lines are making money on the shore excursions. But we still recommend shore excursions in most of these ports rather than doing it some other way. Because, well, let's say, for example, we just, you know, when we did the Med, there's no way that you can come into a ship in Civita Vecchia, which is 60 miles from Rome, get into Rome, see the sights, and get back to the ship before the ship leaves port.
Yep.
Unless you go with, go with somebody who knows how to do that on a day-to-day basis.
And now you're, you know, I wouldn't imagine you not spending a lot of money, you know, with the number of ports that you end up stopping at, and you know, the longer that you're on the ship, you'll probably end up finding yourself, you know, spending a lot more money than we are now. I mean, and we couldn't use the key to the world for those cohibas either. So.
Shh, none of that on air, Fred. We have to return to the United States.
They're consumed off.
Yeah. Once again, for those tuning in, we're live on the Disney Wonder here in somewhere in the Caribbean. We just left Castaway Key, and we're entering our day at sea, which is coming up tomorrow. So we're cruising along in a circle or somewhat.
We're pretty much just meandering between Castaway Key and the general vicinity of Grand Bahama.
Yep.
And that's pretty much what they do on the day at sea.
And we're live in the Walt Disney Suite here on the Wonder. And I'm joined by Annette Owens, Fred Block, and Dave Marks. We and Mike Newell.
Mike, thank me. I'm the one that pointed it out.
Somebody give that man a microphone. I mean, you're just getting forgotten. I think
I'll use his. I'll just keep
take over,
out.
Mike.
Mike,
take
without
over.
The Mike Newell.
Let me give you guys a little picture here. We're all sitting in these wonderful seats, right? And poor Mike. Poor Mike is on his
hands and knees
in the corner with a small table in front of him and no microphone.
And while you guys were eating dinner from Paolo, no less.
Speak for yourselves.
Guess who was wiring up the suite so we can do this? So.
They're asking in the chat room if you're actually holding cables.
With glue and scotch tape. So.
Just like what's his name from Back to the Future.
No, we do not have microphone stands here. I mean, we're holding our own mics.
Yes.
We're working. We're earning our.
That'll be the.
Let's all give Mike Newell a round of applause.
Thank you.
We talked a little bit about it before, but the shore excursions are really a lot of fun to do because that's really what makes cruising fun, I think. It's the fact that you go to sleep one day and you're in port A, and you go to sleep the next day and you're in port B, and you don't have to unpack, you don't have to move your bags, you keep going from different place to different place. And the shore excursions are a big part of the cruise, and Fred, Annette, Mike and I did we did parasailing this morning, and that was a lot of fun. And these are the types of excursions that you can do. Some of them, you know, like, you know, just doing parasailing, those kinds of things, snorkeling. But you can also do Nassau. Dave, you did the walking tour of Nassau.
Well, no, I gave the walking tour.
That's only on the Mouse Fest cruise, Dave.
That's
special
right.
Special walking
right.
tour.
Right, or any other time I happen to be on the cruise and you happen to buttonhole me and want to walk.
You just became a shore excursion.
That's
you know
right.
That?
I thought I saw it on the list.
And Disney gets
F-R-E-E. F-R-E-E.
Obviously not Disney.
No, you could get a free walking tour from a native of the Bahamas. Yeah. And all you'd have to do is tip them at the end. But I have the the gumption to think that I could actually take people on a tour of Nassau when I don't live here. And I've been doing that on every Mouse Fest cruise since the beginning of the Mouse Fest cruises.
That's right. And we're on the four night.
We're walking.
Keep walking.
We're on the four night cruise here, and that means that we stopped at Nassau, which is the capital of the Bahamas, and we stopped at Castaway Cay, which is Disney's private island. And Castaway Cay, we could do an entire show about because it's really an attraction in itself. But Dave, why don't we focus a little bit on the different basic excursions that you can do, because they are an interesting option, and they vary because some of them are low key and. You know, not that big. And then there are others that are very intense, very long-lasting, and with that, expensive. So why don't you tell a little bit about what the average cruiser can expect in terms of those kind of excursions.
Okay. Well, shore excursion, rather than naming names, because there's so many islands and so many ports, and there's a shore excursion in every... I've got a shore excursion in every one.
With a special price.
That's right. Basically, they try to hit all kinds of interests. So you have your shopping-oriented tours, which will take you downtown. You'll have beach relaxation tours, beach recreation-type tours, where you'll go to a nice private beach. There'll be some that they may provide you with some food. There'll be beach toys to play with and lots of suntan lotion, and they'll get you back to the ship when it's all over. Then you have your adventure recreation, which in the Caribbean these days usually includes one kayak tour where you go through the local mangrove area. There'll be things like the parasailing or encounters with dolphins and or stingrays and or whatever the next bit of friendly wildlife they can come up with is. Right. It used to be there you could only go to Grand Cayman and swim with the... Well, anyway, there's a separate interview going on in the next room. I think it's sort of like a press bullpen.
I was told it was okay.
This is the press bullpen at a major sporting event. You know, you've got 15 broadcasters in a row, and they're all. been there, done that. There's a range of activities pretty much, and typically you'll have half days. You know, in a lot of ports, you'll have go on a catamaran or their sailboat for a couple of hours of partying around the island, and so many of them these days, a lot of them are interchangeable parts.
Yeah.
The one thing I do want to say about shore excursions, and Disney in specific, is when you look at the TV commercials for most of the cruise lines... Most of what they're selling you on when they say come sail on our ship, they're showing you the shore excursions. Those are all options.
Right.
So if you think that...
Swimming
with dolphins or everything but climbing the rock wall, which is included with a basic cruise, with the exception of the rock wall, just everything they're showing you are options, and they're not really dwelling much on what the ship is. When you look at a Disney commercial for their cruises, they're almost always showing what you can do on the ship. And that's almost all included in the cost. So if the TV commercial is going to persuade you, realize that shore excursions are always going to cost you.
Exactly. Now, Fred, when you guys were planning for when you and Renee, your wife, were planning for this cruise, what did you...
Gilligan's Island playing in the background.
How did you decide on the excursions? Were there some that stood out to you? Did you? I know this is Mouse Fest, so it's a little bit different than your normal cruise. But did you guys outline certain things that you wanted to do beforehand, or?
We actually focus more on things that we're going to be doing on the ship.
Okay.
And the reason why is because, just like when we're picking a hotel at Disney property, our family likes to spend a lot of time at the hotel. Mm-hmm. So it's more important what can we do while we're at the hotel as well as when we want to go to the parks. And so we focused all of our energies on what we're going to be doing aboard the ship, since that's where you spend most of your time. We actually really didn't do much as far as or could find anything that we thought would be very family-oriented in Nassau. So so we decided to, you know, join Dave and go around, which was a great tour while we could still do it.
I warned you that the 3-year-old was not going to make it all the way up to the top of the hill.
Yeah, you know, and she didn't, you know, and but you know, and it was pretty warm, it was humid, and they were being pretty good sports, and then finally it just kind of collapsed. So, you know, but we still got to do a little bit. We still got to see a lot of, you know, Nassau, and we did, you know, went in and out of the shops, and honestly, I think that I got as much as I would probably have wanted to. And just looked forward to getting back on the ship.
I will say that Nassau in general is not cruisers' favorite port of call. Quite frankly, the island doesn't have a whole lot to offer.
Right.
And so pretty much either you come in and you do some shopping on Bay Street, or you go out to the Atlantis Casino, or you pay for a beach excursion or a glass bottom boat excursion or right. something like that. It's not the greatest place to tour. Now, coming from Europe, you've got a whole other thing. I mean, you know, how do you do Florence? The ship comes into port. How do you do Florence and Pisa in one day?
Yeah.
The amazing thing is that the tour operators manage to do it. Yeah. You manage to get enough of a taste of everything that at least mm-hmm. you know you've been there. It may still be Tuesday. It may still be Belgium.
Yep.
For those who get that that reference. It's an old movie. If this is Tuesday, it must be Belgium. The worst bus tour around Europe in life.
I mean, now we're listening to Jaws music in the background. I mean,
now this is a CD that came with the suite, isn't it?
No. No, I made this mix CD.
Okay, we were talking
need a bigger boat.
We were talking about.
I'll catch him for 10, but I'll kill him for 17.
Sorry. Yeah, we're talking about so when we started talking about shore excursions, the Gilligan's Island theme had everything to do with it. That's right. It was your
3-hour tour.
It was your plot.
Yep.
Now 7-hour tour to Rome, you know, things like that. Yeah, it's a whole other world. You're in, you're out, and you can say you've been there. And one of the tricks on any, and I should say this is one of Dave's key tips here.
Okay.
Whether you're doing it in a bus tour or whether you're doing it on a ship shore excursion, no shopping stop is ever longer than 20 minutes. And the reason the shopping stops are no longer than 20 minutes is that you don't have enough time to comparison shop and bargain in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So you just have to keep that in mind when you go in. You know, you want something, you see it, you buy it, because, you know, if you want to do careful shopping, you've got to fly in, stay 3 or 4 days, and really, yeah. you know, really make it happen.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you mentioned that was one of your key tips. Why don't we tell our listeners about some other kind of general guidelines when you're going on a Disney cruise that you really should kind of keep in mind, whether it be planning or actually on the cruise itself?
Don't overpack.
Yes, right. I think we can all agree with that.
But everybody does. One of the Disney differences is that there are actually coin laundries on these ships.
As opposed, what do the other lines have?
Laundry service.
Oh, laundry service.
Laundry service, like you would have in a deluxe hotel. You don't have it. You can't
do it yourself.
You can't bring a roll of quarters and save a few bucks.
Ah.
It costs you time, of course, and sometimes it's worth paying, you know, a little extra just to be able to have your free time. But still, expect that you're going to have to pay gratuities. It is customary and built into the structure of all cruise ships,
yep.
that there will be gratuities to pay at the end of the voyage, and it shouldn't come as a surprise. The cruise line will recommend the gratuity that gets paid to those who are supposed to get them, which is normally your dining room server, the assistant server, and the dining room captain, who may be told the server what to do once or twice during the course of the cruise, but they only get like $5, so you know, don't have to sweat it.
And keep in mind, before, you know, to add, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but like one of the things that everybody should know and that I've learned from the 3 cruises that I've been on now is that many of the people that are helping you and serving you and taking care of your stateroom and so on and so forth are from many different countries.
Yes.
So they sign, you know, 3-month, 6-month contracts and spend that period of time aboard the ship the entire time. And, you know, our servers in the restaurant are from Peru and from Jamaica. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I'm not sure where our stateroom people are from, but, you know, you'll see quite an eclectic variety of different, you know,
Serbia,
countries.
Yeah,
Poland.
Yeah, Czech Republic.
The security staff tends to be from the Philippines and Malaysia.
Yeah.
the engine room crew is from elsewhere in the Southeast Asia.
Monroe, New York.
And I think a lot of what makes these people so good at what they do is they're hungry to make you happy. You know, they want that. You know, I'm not sure what type of salaries they make, you know, how well the contracts pay. You know, this is business overall. So Disney's going to do whatever they can to save as much as they can. And that kind of leads me to believe that they are really counting on all of those little extra things that they do for you to kind of pump up that gratuity.
Yeah. Well, it's generally true, but I think a lot of people arrive on their first Disney cruise with other cruise line experiences with a certain level of cynicism about that whole process. Mm-hmm. They expect that the service is not going to be all that great, but they're going to feel obligated to tip something at the end.
Yeah.
We first cruised with Disney on the Wonder a few months after it first went into service. And at that time, we pretty much received that kind of service.
Right.
There are contractors around the world who specialize in hiring particular portions of the crew. And they sign the people up. They send them to the cruise line. The cruise line really has little control over them and rarely has a chance to impose a company culture on them.
Right.
Disney changed that.
Mm-hmm.
Within the first couple of years of operation, they started hiring their frontline crew members with their own people.
And you can see that.
So they bring them in the same way that the Disney World and Disneyland cast members are inculcated with the company's customer service culture. You find the same thing amongst the servers here. There's some servers that we see year in and year out. They rotate back and forth between the various ships, and you know they are Disney through and through, and that is a big Disney difference. There's a genuineness to the care, and especially an ability to work with kids. I mean they do a fabulous job with kids, and I'm not going to knock the service we've had on Carnival and on Royal Caribbean and the like. They do have good service there.
Yep.
But it still isn't Disney service.
No, I agree. Honestly, very much so from my limited experience. But as far as comparing Disney to Carnival, I wholeheartedly agree. They have some great people that are willing to go above and beyond. But it's nothing like what we've experienced on the Wonder, and down to like the carpets and the ship being unbelievably clean, and you walking into a restaurant and them handing you a moist towelette so that you can, you know, wash your hands, you know, in an attempt to try to prevent the spread of, you know, disease or anything like that. I mean, those little details I didn't experience. I am experiencing them here, and while I've heard people complain, you know, why do they give us these things? Why do they give us these things? You know, it just makes sense, you know, and they're doing what they can to make sure that the guests are safe. And I really feel that. I really like that.
Yeah, the crew on the ship here are as great or if not better than the cast members you find in the parks. And that's really that kind of quality of service that you get on the Disney cruise, and you can really see that in the various facets of the service that you find. And Dave, you have something?
Well, actually, I'd like to move it away from service for a moment into decor and design. Because Fred and I were having a nice conversation the other day about that on his initial.
I got more listening.
If you think you've never been on a cruise ship, you're concerned that the Disney cruise is going to be like a theme park in some way or other.
Yep.
That it's going to be a kiddie place or whatever. Fred, well, this is if this were TV, you would see Fred's head going back and forth from left to right. No. There's an elegance on these ships that is hard to find even at places like the Grand Floridian.
Mm-hmm.
It's understated. Yeah, they're hidden Mickeys, but the hidden Mickeys are maybe made in stained glass or something like that.
Right.
And we're sitting in the Walt Disney Suite. Now, these rooms are all done in, actually, all the staterooms, all the way down to the lowest stateroom category.
That's the one that we're staying in.
Are done in beautiful woodwork. There's more beautiful woodwork here, of course, with inlays and all the rest. But it's an elegant ship. Both ships are very elegant, which is not necessarily what you'd expect.
And one of the things I also mentioned to Dave while we were walking around is is the funny thing is that the ship that I was on twice with Carnival is the Victory, and it was also built by Fincantieri, which happens to be the same company that built this ship. And when you're on the ships, I am able to see some many things that are the same, like the Floby, you know, hair dryers, and and the elevators are very much the same. But that's pretty much where it ends. And like Renee and I were talking, my wife, we're talking, and she was like, "Wow, if it's the same company, why is this so much different?" And I said, "That's Disney."
Yep.
Because Carnival, when they placed their order for the ship, they got, you know, this, and this, and could have gone. It's like buying a house. You could buy it with all these extra options, or you can buy it bare.
Yep.
Well, Carnival might be buying it on a bare bones level, whereas Disney had probably had a great hand in the design and the features that the ship was going to have, and it's definitely visible.
Both the lines do, actually. It's purely a matter of choice. Carnival has been very, very successful with their ships. We can't knock it. They're the number one cruise line. They've managed to buy up a half dozen other major cruise lines on the profits of doing that.
Some that people would never even believe.
Like Cunard.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, the QE. Yeah, right.
But nonetheless, and Cunard certainly would be considered an elegant cruise line. No, sure. It's purely marketing. The same person has designed every Carnival ship since the first Carnival ship. It's a formula that's worked for them. It's just that it's not the Disney formula.
Yeah. And I think that many of our listeners here would agree that we go to, you know, I'm trying to relate this to Disney World, and that we go to Disney World because of the excellent service, because of the excellent amenities, because of the excellent experience that you have over there. And that translates right over to the Disney Cruise Line, because, you know, as everyone here is, we're veterans to Walt Disney World. We've been there many times, and not to say that we become jaded, but we come to expect it. And then you come on this cruise line, and it's almost like that you rediscover the way you discovered Walt Disney World, where is that like, oh wow, this is the way they do it here is different than somewhere else. And this isn't like something minor, like the towels are nicer. Like, this is like, wow, there is a big difference.
Yeah, and this shows. This isn't Wilderness Lodge, you know, theming either. You know, it's hard to explain. You know, you're not going to get that Disney theming if that's what you're looking for. But like, to me, when I walk through the halls, I feel like, you know, I feel like I'm in a very, very ritzy hotel.
Yeah.
You know, it is very elegant. You know, and again, you know, down to the carpets being shampooed and all of that. You know, regularly. You know, it doesn't smell. You know, the walls are always all clean. You know, it's meticulously kept up after, and that is something, you know, that I noticed right away. And
I think what you'll find is that that Disney overlays the let's call it almost neutral, elegant design. You're not going to find a lot of hidden Mickeys, as I mentioned before. They're out there. You will find Disney artwork. Nice Disney artwork hanging in, framed on the walls, and you'll find Disney entertainers, characters all over the place. If you like going to a character breakfast because it gives you a better chance to spend quality time with characters, you ain't seen nothing until you come on a Disney cruise.
You definitely you don't need that. There are scheduled times, and you will definitely have the ability to see characters all over the ship.
Now, Fred, you didn't have a chance to pop into the Hidden Mickey, the Golden Mickey's show, excuse me, tonight. Did you get a chance to do Hercules last night?
Yes, we did. We did, and that was our first taste of Disney Entertainment.
That's a stage show over here on the ship.
Yeah. Yes, and it is pure Disney magic. Very funny combination of, you know, child and adult humor, and it keeps everybody entertained. Right.
It's an adaptation of Disney's Hercules, and however, with some differences.
A lot of differences.
Yeah, Hades becomes a stand-up comic, and bada bing, bada bang. And a lot of really fun stuff, and it's entertainment. It's not a Vegas floor show adaptation, which you'll find on many cruise lines. It's not a simple song review, you know, greatest hits of Broadway plays sort of thing that some lines will do. And for that matter, it's not an ice show like they have on some ships in Royal Caribbean. Yes, Royal Caribbean is more like a theme park in some ways. They've got the rock wall up top. They've got ice rinks in some of the ships, and they have wonderful ice shows, but it's still an ice show.